Good evening, sisters. How's everybody doing? I am really happy that I'm going to be able to, honor really, to be able to share tonight and the things that I've been studying for the past month. And I hope and I pray that this message is going to inspire you and is going to send you home thinking and helping you to make choices, to think more about God, to think about more about your choices on a daily basis. It's been helping me a lot because I've been studying this for a long time. So now in every conversation, this comes up and I'm like, it works. You know, studying this out a lot so much, it actually comes in my life and my conversations a lot. So just the same way that it's been impacting me, I pray that that will impact you tonight, that I can inspire you to go home and study this out yourself. Yeah. So first I need to pray. I need God to help me. So let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, thank you so much for tonight, for allowing us to get here. Father, thank you so much for providing a place for us to come worship you. Thank you so much for giving us the time and the means to get here, to be together, to be inspired, to have fellowship, to love one another and as sisters. Father, I pray that you use me, Father, to get to the sisters' hearts, Father. I pray that whatever you put in my heart to teach, that it will impact them, that will help them, that they will go home changed, Father. Father, I pray that I spend so much time reading these scriptures and studying this topic, I pray that they also do the same when they go home. And I pray that they realize that nothing in this world can be done without you, God. I pray so much for strength, for open hearts. Give me the words. Give me the wisdom. Talk through me, Lord. You are awesome. You know what we need. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. So the topic of tonight's lesson is humility. Okay, I think that humility is the quality of the heart that is fundamental. I mean, it's one of the main things that you need to have in order to see God. I mean, without humility, you can't grow. Without humility, you can't see God and his purpose and how he's changing you in your life. Humility is the way to God's heart. Really, the Bible says that he opposes the proud, but he blesses the humble. So it pretty much is telling us that he wants you to work on humility. Humility is this, it's a way for you to receive his commands without problems, without complaining, without fighting, without arguing, and naturally thinking about, okay, God wants me to do this. How am I going to do this? It's having that attitude of humility. It's the foundation of all the changes that we have to do as disciples. We come into the kingdom with all this baggage, with all these things that we learn in the world, and then eventually when we become disciples, God says, I want you to be this way. And if your heart is not in the right place, you're not going to be. You're not going to change. So humility has to be at the heart of everything, in the beginning of everything. Once we understand who God is, and how amazing and important he is, and how small we are compared to him, we're like, okay, I need to obey. I need to listen because he knows better. He knows me. He knows what I need. He knows my life. So I need to be humble out, and listen to him. So the Greek word for humility, probably is not going to sound right, but it is tapeinophrosyn, all right? It is difficult to say, but it means the quality is having a humble opinion of oneself. Having a humble opinion of oneself. Another awesome meaning of it I found in Helps Word Studies. I don't know if you know what that is, but listen to this. It's an inside-out virtue produced by comparing ourselves to the Lord rather than to others. This brings behavior into alignment with this inner revelation to keep one from being self-exalting, self-determining, self-inflated. So for the believer, humility means living in complete dependence on the Lord and not with reliance on self. So humility is huge. It's knowing who you are in this and on this earth. You're not God. God is God. You are his child. You are his creation. And it's comparing yourself with him, you know, not with each other, because we are all sinners. We're all working in different things, and we all have different journeys, but we're comparing ourselves to him. What does he want me to do? How does he want me to think? How does he want me to be? So if we have this humble heart, he's going to bless us. He says it. He opposes the proud, but he blesses the humble. So it's true. He will give you what you need if you have the humble heart. So let me tell you some antonyms of humility. Arrogance, assumption, egotism, haughtiness, huffiness, imperiousness, loftiness, lordiness, pompousness, presumptuousness, pretentiousness, pridefulness, superiority. All this is opposed to what God wants you to be. If you have any of those things in your character, you need to work on those. He's not gonna really bless you if you keep on being that way without changes. There has to be change. We can't be the same way over and over and over, year after year after year. There has to be change. I found two awesome quotes about humility. I'm gonna read the first one, which is I think is really good. It says, "What makes humility so desirable is the marvelous thing that it does to us. It creates in us a capacity for the closest possible intimacy with God." So humility is crucial. Humility is like number one thing to have. Without it, you won't listen to God or anybody for that matter. And that was a lady named Monica Baldwin. That was her quote. And a quote from St. Augustine. "Humility is the foundation of all other virtues. Hence, this is awesome. In the soul in which this virtue does not exist, there cannot be any other virtue except in mere appearance." So if it's not really there, it's only appearance. And I don't want to live in appearances. I don't want to be pretending that I'm this person and I'm not. So this is from the world. These are ideas that people from the world came up with. Because I guess in the world, it's important. It's not as important as for us believers, because sometimes they don't see it as important. But as Jesus, things is a great quality to have. It's a great attitude to go for. It's pretty much the way he was able to listen to God. So I want to study a lady in the Bible that's awesome, that showed a lot of humility. She showed a lot of respect to God, and we all love her. She's Mary, the mother of Jesus. And I want us to read that scripture. Please open the Bible in Luke 1, 26. Okay. Verse 26. "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married." Sorry about that. A virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has filled up the humble, lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. So this is the angel Gabriel, like the main angel that God sent to different people, was sent to Mary. Okay, Mary was a humble, poor, Galilean woman, young woman. It seems that she was a teenager, because in those times they used to get married that early. So she was young, humble, poor, uneducated. She wasn't popular or wealthy, or, you know, there was nothing, you know, in our sight, in our view, she's nothing special about her. But for God, she was highly favored. So imagine being chosen to be the Son of God, the mother of God. I mean, she was like, "What? Why me?" That's why she was asking the angel. She said, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God." Because in the scripture says that she was greatly troubled. She was kind of confused, like, okay, but why me? I am just a girl. I mean, I'm poor, I'm humble. Even in her song, down in verse 47, 48 says, For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. She herself says that she's a humble servant. So she has this humility about her. She has this I'm nobody type personality. She has, like, "Lord, if you need me, I'm here." Think about this. Why was she chosen? What did God see in this woman that he said, "You're gonna be the mother of my son. He's gonna be amazing. He's gonna do. He's going to save this world, and you need to raise my son. What was it about her? And I found this scripture in 2 Chronicles 2:9. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the world, throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." God is faithful. He shows himself loyal to those that really love God, that are really devoted to God. So I believe that was Mary. Mary was a special girl because she was humble, because she was willing, because she didn't have any presumptions, because she wasn't bratty, because she wasn't afraid, because she had a strong faith. And because, and we can see through this song that she had a strong relationship with God. And she understood who God was. So she's like, how is this going to be? I'm a virgin. She wasn't saying, no, not me. She was saying, this is going to be too hard. I'm going to be stoned to death. Don't do it. I really, really can't do this. She just said, okay. She said, how will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. He said, okay, I'm a virgin. How is this going to be? In her finite mind, she didn't see it happening. You know, just like she had the same mind that we'd have. And she's like, okay, I'm a virgin, so how is this going to happen? So she said, the angel explained it to her, and she said, okay, I'm the Lord's servant, and may your word be fulfilled. With this humility, with this willingness and eagerness to do God's will, she didn't become fearful and doubtful, or you know how we get sometimes, we get skeptical and we get cynical. You know, there was somebody in the Bible that laughed and she got leprosy. And then Zechariah didn't believe the angel, and what happened? He lost his voice for a while. But now her, she's like, okay, whatever you want me to do. Attitude. And I think that that shows complete dependency on God. And that's what I want to study. I have two things that I found in Mary that we can imitate. Two things that are so crucial for us as disciples. Number one is she had dependency on God. And number two, she was obedient to God. Okay, so number one, she was dependent on God. We could see how she was dependent on God. She was like, okay, Lord, whatever you want me to do, her words were, may your word to me be fulfilled. Pretty much she was willing. Tell me where to go. Tell me what to do. What do I need to say? I mean, just tell me. And so is that our attitude as disciples in the century we live in? Is that our mindset? God, tell me what to do, and I will do it. Do you have that I depend on God mindset? Do you have that mentality that whatever he says to me, I'm going to try my best and do it? And not to work my way around it and try the easy way out, but to do it his way. I think one way that we could get there is by praying and praying and praying. A humble woman prays constantly. Why? Because you're depending on God. You're not depending on your own strength. Oh, I know it all. Oh, I'm so good at this. I am so self-sufficient. Nobody has to tell me anything because I just know it. Yeah, you could tell me, but I know already. You know how we go, yeah, I know. Oh, you already told me that the other day. Or sometimes we go like, but inside of us, we're like, I already know that. You know, it's like this self-sufficient, prideful attitude. You know, so with that attitude, God is like, no, I'm going to oppose you. Because I really bless the humble. I'm not going to bless the prideful. And we can easily be prideful, even though we don't know it sometimes. We got this self-sufficient, I know it all attitude. But with prayer, with having so much prayer and always going to God, our hearts start getting softer and softer. And the thing is that the more you pray and the more you become humble, the more you see you need to be humble. It's just you never reach the top. You never become completely humble. You don't see people walking around saying, I'm so humble. You know, it's just like you just are. It's just this attitude of the heart. It's your life shows it without you even saying it. But prayer, the women that are humble are the ones that pray the most because they see their dependency on God. I have an example. Jesus was totally dependent on God. And I'm going to read a scripture. You could write it down. John 12:49. It says, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak." Jesus himself, he says, "Look, I'm not going to say anything, just what I'm thinking from my own mind. I am going to say everything my Lord, my Father is telling me to say." He was totally dependent on God. He was like, and he was Jesus. You would think that, well, Jesus knows it all. He's so secure. He knows what to do. And even him said, "I don't do anything without talking to my Father first." So if Jesus does it, so we need to do it even more. Because we are very sinful. We got a lot of things that we need to work on. I mean, even things that we don't know. So a humble woman prays a lot. A humble woman allows others to come into her life to give her advice. And we don't fight that person. We don't get defensive and angry when people tell us what to do because we're so humble. We want to know. Tell me about me. What do you see in my character? How do I need to change this area or that area? The opposite will be like, "Oh, you talking? Look at you. I don't need to listen to you." That is prideful. And sometimes we don't say it, but we think it. We think it, and God knows. And God will post you, and he will not let you grow because you're like so prideful. I want blessings, so I want to change. I want to listen to advice. I want people to tell me what to do. I want people to I was loving it today. Barbara called me to tell me and put about my message, and I was like, tell me more. I want this to be perfect for you guys because I want you to go home change. I want you to go home thinking, man, am I humble or am I so prideful that I don't see my sin? So a humble person listens to advice. A humble person will go and say to somebody, "You know what? I have sin to confess. I need to get this garbage out of my heart. Can I talk to you? Can you please help me in my sins? Can you tell me what to do? Because there's some sin in my life that I need to get rid of." Without thinking, "Oh, what's she going to think of me? She's going to see me differently. She's going to take it against me." Oh, you know, all this worldliness, you don't think about that. You just go and like, "I need to talk to you because I'm wrong because I sin against God and I need to fix this." That's a humble attitude. You don't care about what that other sister is going to say or think of you. If she does say or think anything of you, she's in sin. And she's going to have to deal with that herself with God. Don't worry about that. Just be what you need to be. Confess your sins. Humble people confess their sins. And don't worry about what other people have to say. Humble people are open. You don't just say half of the story and you keep the rest because, you know, "I just don't want to say the whole thing. It just sounds bad." Say the bad, the ugly, and everything. Be open. Be transparent. Be vulnerable. You know, just walk into a conversation with somebody saying, "Hey, you're going to hear things you're not going to like, but here, I'm going to tell you anyways." That sister is going to be like, "Wow, that's awesome. I want to be like you." You know, be examples to others in that area. A humble woman digs into the Bible and studies the scriptures until it becomes your conviction. I tell you, I've been studying this humility thing for so long. It's been more than a month. And it just stays in my head. It's coming out in my conversations with people. And it's coming out in my observations of how I take advice. It's just like making me so aware. Am I humble? You know, it keeps coming up because I'm studying and I'm reading books, reading commentaries, reading scriptures thinking about it, it really changes you. So when you're humble, you get into the scriptures and you study them out until you get it. Not just, oh, let's see where today, you know how some people flip the Bible, oh, let's see where I'm going to study today. Oh, this sounds good. But you're not working in your heart. You're not working, that doesn't really work. It works if you have an intent, if you have a decision to make. You go, you open that scripture because you know that you need that scripture at the moment. And you beg God, please help me change. Please help me see my sin and help me see that I'm not like Jesus. And this is hurting you and hurting me. So when you're humble, you pray. When you're humble, you confess your sins. You're eager to confess. When you're humble, you study your scriptures so much that you get a conviction and you're like strong in that area. I would say if you're working on a particular area, I wouldn't stop studying it until I'm getting somewhere, until I'm getting something out of that study. Don't change studies so quickly because then you're not growing any of them. It's just all here and there. Snacking, you just want to have the big meal and make sure it changes you. But obviously through prayer, dependency on God, because God has the power. You have the willingness, but God has the power to change you. He will bless you. We see how Mary here in this scripture, she didn't say, oh, well, man, if I do this, I'm going to get killed. They're going to kill me. Oh, if I do this, Joseph's going to leave me. I'm going to marry him. But what's going to happen? He's going to leave me. These people are going to kill me because they're going to stone me to death. I don't know if I could do this. But she said, may your word to me be fulfilled. She was so dependent on God. She knew that God was going to come through for her. She was dependent on God. I'm going to share that for the longest time, I was struggling with, and many of the moms here are going to relate to this, with sending my kids to college and having the money to have that college money. You know how you start saving little by little to send your kids to college? So for the longest time, I was struggling because we didn't have money to save for college. And I would go to Barbara or Sarah or I don't remember who else, but I'd be like, we're not saving for college. We're not going to be able to have that money for when they get graduated high school. And everybody would say, well, trust God. It might happen later. Just trust God. Trust your husband. But in my heart, I wasn't trusting. In my heart, I was like, he doesn't know how to budget. And I was becoming critical of my husband. I was becoming argumentative. You know, wondering why didn't he care for college? You know, and he would say sometimes, oh, they can work when they go to college. And I'm like, no, I want to provide for them. And he's like, I didn't have any money, so they can work too. And I'm like, but I want to provide for my children. And I had this fight in my heart year after year. I mean, I've been here 6 years now. In August will be 6 years, and I've had this fight for the longest in my heart. You know, it would go away for a little while, but it will come back. And it was this thing that I needed to be in control of, saving for their college. And then recently, I just gave it all up to God. I just said, you know what? If they have money for college, good. We normally tell them, you do well, get your A's, because we don't know if you're going to get any money from us. You get your A's, right? Daddy says that to you all the time. You get your A's because that's going to be your ticket to college, because we're not going to have any money. And so, but that recently I got to humble out myself and say, you know what? God is in control. I am not going to work it myself anymore. I'm not going to try to, work him into submission. Like, you have to put it in the budget and what is wrong with you? You know, none of that stuff is, it's not there. It's not there. We don't have money to save. There's no college money. There's no college money right now. However, I'm different now. I'm like, God, if you want them to go to college with some of the money that we provide, you will you will make the money appear from somewhere. But my faith is in a different place now because I'm like, I can't do this myself. And then talking to Roxanne today, or yesterday, she says, we didn't have money for our children either. And I'm like, what? And I'm over here suffering for this. And she's like, no, I didn't. And they did it themselves, and they grew because of it. And Kevin is so responsible with his money, and he helped them in this way. And I'm like, okay. Okay, so, you know, it gives me more confidence, more security that I don't have to provide for their college. And it's good. It's good for the children to work their college. Anyway, so I just wanted to share with you a lesson that I learned, and that I had to be dependent on God only. I cannot depend on my merits, my job, nothing. I have to depend on Him. Because even if you have the best job ever, you could lose it tomorrow like this, and then you don't have any money. So my dependency has to be totally, totally on God. Now, I can say that every stage of our lives has some type of problem. Some struggle. Teenagers, their struggle is peer pressure. They need to look this way. They need to have this clothes. They need to fit to be liked in school. And they need to like that music. And they need to like, you know what I mean, to fit in. That's our struggle. I work with teenagers all the time, so I know what they deal with. Now, single women and campus students, they might deal with different things. Their struggles might be being able to accomplish that goal that they went to school for, and becoming professionals, and finishing up that degree and getting that title, and a lot of times also they're very concerned about getting married, single and campus people. And a lot of time it consumes their mind about, who am I going to marry? Am I going to get married? You know, it's a struggle, you know. I'm saying this because all of us have something that pulls us back, and we all need to depend on God. Married women, I'm married, and the worry is my marriage holy? Am I being a good wife? Am I really meeting my husband's needs? Is he happy with me? Am I really being the helper? And also, am I being that good mom? Are they getting what they need from me? Are they going to be Christians because of me, or are they going to hate God because of me? You know what I mean? So is this worried about? So we all got our burdens to bear. And the older women, the prime timers, I believe, because I'm not there yet, but I believe, I should have asked, but I believe that it might be their health issues, and it might be their retirement security. You know, what's going to happen to me when I get older? What's going to happen with my life? Where am I going to end up? Am I going to end up in a nursing home? You know, those things you don't hear in South America. There's no nursing homes. The nursing home is your family. Your family is the people that take care of you. I never heard of nursing homes until I came here. So I believe that those are the burdens that all of us have to go through. And all of those things we have to channel through Jesus. We have to come and say, God, please help me. I don't want to worry about these things. I don't want to have the peer pressure. I just want to please you. You know, we just need to go in prayer and in willingness, and just begging God to help us through our struggles. We can't go through it by ourselves. Jesus said, Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He says, I am humble. Come to me. Jesus himself, he said, I'm humble. I'll take that away from you. Come to me. Don't be burdened. Don't be fighting by yourself. Come to me. So Jesus himself says, you don't have to deal with all this thinking of, you know, you're not going to make it, and you're not going to get married, and you're not, where you're going to end up, who you're going to, how you're going to send your kids to school, you know. Don't Don't be burdened. Pray. Pray and trust God just like Mary did. She said, may your word to me be fulfilled. Have that attitude of, God, whatever you want me to do. Okay, my second point is humility shows in your obedience to God. Okay, your obedience to God is in relationship, in direct relationship to your humility. Because you understand that God, the most amazing being in this world, your creator, is asking you to do something. So it's not like you're going to obey if you feel like it. You obey because God asked you to obey. And Jesus, in the Bible, it says that he obeyed even to death on the cross. I want to read that scripture in Philippians 2:5. If you guys want to write it down, Philippians 2:5, it says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. He was obedient to death, Jesus. Okay? And he was the one that was sinless. And he was so obedient, and even to death. So when we are humble before God, we obey. Again, we don't find our way around it. We don't take shortcuts. We don't avoid the pain that comes from changing or in obeying. Sometimes obeying is painful. Sometimes we don't want to obey because it's just like doesn't agree with what I want to do. It's not comfortable. I don't feel comfortable about that. I don't like that. I don't want to say sorry. You know, sometimes we try. Sometimes I'd rather not do it so I don't have to say sorry to somebody. I'm like, I'm going to have to say sorry. I might as well not sin. So I'm just not going to sin. But, you know, that's the wrong attitude. You have to obey just because God said so. Your mother, some mothers over here, you want your children to obey you just because you said it. You don't have to give an explanation that why they have to clean the room. You know what I mean? It's just do it because I said it. I'm your mom. You know? So if we do that as moms and we're very sinful, how much more we need to obey God, who is perfect. And what he's asking us to do is what we need to do for ourselves, to be the best thing that we can be. In his eyes, not in the world's eyes. So I think that obedience has to be without any, you thinking that has to be done your way. Let me read over here. Sometimes our obedience of God to God is dependent upon our agreement with God. If we agree with God, we'll do it. If we don't agree with God, I'm not going to do it. That is wrong. That is wrong. It's disrespectful. Imagine your child telling you, Mom, I don't agree with you. I'm not going to do it. What would you do? Exactly. What would you do if your child says, I don't agree with you. I'm not doing that. Okay, that kid is going to have a big problem, and he's going to get spanked or whatever it is, punished. Something's going to happen. We don't accept that as moms. We don't take that. Why would God take it from us? And we're adults. We're obeyed just because he said it. I remember when I was single in New York, I graduated with a computer degree. And so when I graduated, I went to work in a hospital in the computer department. Usually computer departments are always full of men. Men, you see one, two women, but the majority of them are men. So I was a woman in the department. And there was a programmer, but she quit. So I was the only one for a long time. I worked there for 7 years. And so in this department, it was this, all the programmers and the operators and all these computer guys and me. I was a computer girl, but I didn't have a boyfriend. So these guys were like, why don't you have a boyfriend? And I'd be like, because I'm waiting for the right guy. And I'm waiting for the guy that God is going to give me. And they would be like, I don't understand. Why don't you? And I mean, I was there for 7 years. For 4 years. 4 years in a row, I didn't have a boyfriend. And they were wondering and thinking that I was foolish and thinking that I was weird and thinking that I was religious and thinking that, you know, all this stuff about me. They would even make fun of me. And I would always have to say, I'm just waiting for God's guy for me. And they would try to set me up with other guys. And they would send me on jobs with, because we had to go to different places. And they would send me, oh, go to that location and you're going with this guy. I'm like, okay. But they were doing it on purpose so I could be in the car with this guy. And the guy, he liked me. So they were trying to set me up so that I liked the guy. And I was like, no. In my heart, I was like, no, I'm not going to. And sometimes I got tempted because they would go tennis, play tennis. They would go to movies. They would do this and that. And I was like, no, I don't do that. I'm going to stay with the, I'm going to wait for the guy. So I obeyed, even though it was very difficult. It was very uncomfortable. It was, sometimes it was embarrassing, you know, because sometimes they were like, why don't you have a boyfriend? So I wonder if they were thinking, you know what I mean? I don't know. Possibly they were thinking these things that they never told me. But all these guys, usually, you know, so I had to stick to it. I had to be strong. I had to be faithful. I had to speak up my mind. I had to, you know, explain why. And also when we were leading CR in New York, we led it for maybe a year. And I would go with my coworkers to a restaurant because we had parties and stuff like that. And if the spaghetti or this, you know, Italian food, they put wine in it. And if the spaghetti had wine, I'll be like, no, I can't have that. They're like, why not? Well, because I'm supporting a group that can't have alcohol, and it'll be very hypocritical if I do. So I'm not going to have any alcohol because I'm helping all these women to stay away from alcohol. And my coworkers be like, but it burns out. It's going to burn out. It's when they cook it, it goes away. What is wrong with you? I'm like, no, I said I was going to support them, and I'm not going to take anything that has alcohol. And they would look at me weird. I felt weird. I felt, you know, put to the side because I had convictions about pleasing God and doing something that I thought was right for these other sisters. So, you know, I had difficult situations, but I had to obey. And I had to stay until, fight until God showed me who it was that I needed to marry. And I did pray, and I did pray and cry, and eventually God showed me who I needed to get married. And it was in a very funny way, but I'm going to say it anyways, because I'm being open, and I'm being transparent, and it's nothing bad, Brianna, don't worry about it. I was praying, and I kneeled down by my bed, and I was crying. I was like, who is it that I'm going to marry? I've been dating this brother, John, and this brother in Long Island. I don't remember his name by now. I said, who is it that I'm going to marry? Because I didn't want to date anybody unless I was going to marry him. So I said, who is it that I'm going to marry? Who is it that I need to start dating steady with? And I did one of those flip the Bible things that as soon as I said don't do. But then I read, the scripture that I read is, it was, his name is John. And I am like, oh my goodness, oh my gosh, really? So that day, I was like, oh, I didn't realize it was him, okay. But I did like him. I did like him a little bit, so it's not like I didn't like him at all. because he, you know, we would go on dates, we were best friends. But the best friend relationship developed into liking each other. But first it was just best friends, hanging out and being crazy together. But when God showed me that scripture, I was like, oh, okay. And that's the one I'm married to. You know, I didn't want to do the boyfriend thing until I found the right person. Because before discipleship, before I became a Christian, I had boyfriends. And I said, I don't want to do that anymore. That's a waste of time. That's just I don't want to go through that. Anyways, obedience. Humility, if you're humble, you obey. because you know who's asking you. God is a great and awesome God who created everything, the heavens and the earth and everything in it. He knows all. He understands all. He is in all. He controls all. And we're not him. We are not him. We don't know all. We don't control anything. Even your breath right now. Can't control that. It just happens naturally. You know, he's the creator. We're his creation. We're little compared to him. He loves us, but we don't compare to him at all. So if you have humility in your heart, you will please God. You will grow. You will change. You will affect other people. You will see things in a different way. You're not going to go year after year after year with the same sin over and over and over and getting frustrated because you're still doing the same things you did in the beginning. You know, we have to grow. But the growth is not going to happen unless you're humble and you open up and expose yourself and tell somebody, help me, because I've been struggling with this for so long. And what's wrong with me? I need to do something about this. So humility draws you closer to God. Humility gives you blessings. Humility helps you change. It's just an attitude of the heart. It's something, I don't even know what time it is. Can somebody tell me what it is? Okay, thank you. So that's why God detests pride. He detests pride. Because he can get through with you. It's like a wall there. You know, you got this wall in your heart, and God is trying to mold it, to make it soft and to change you, and you're like, prideful. You just think you know it all, and don't tell me what to do. Oh, I don't like to do that. I like to do it this way. I mean, we got all these things in us that we need to drop if we want to change. And the goal is to change and become like Jesus. I mean, he wants us to become like Jesus. He says, come to me and take my yoke, and because I'm humble. He wants you to be humble. So here's my encouragement to you guys. Don't be afraid to be humble. It's not a weakness. It's a strength. If you're humble, you're being like Jesus. It's not a weakness. The world thinks it's a weakness, but it's not. Be humble. Pray yourselves. Pray that you grow in humility to be able to submit to God. Pray that you grow in humility to see God's point of view. Not your point of view, but his point of view. Pray that you grow in humility to be able to depend on him. Pray that you grow in humility to recognize your weaknesses, to recognize your mistakes. And pray that you grow in humility to be able to repent. And to listen to others when they tell you something that you don't like to hear. Pray that you grow in humility to be given to others. It's not all about you. Don't be selfish. Be giving. Pray that you grow in humility to forgive others when they ask you to forgive them. You know, sometimes we say, yeah, I forgive you, but really, you don't forgive in their heart. And you keep the record of wrong going year after year after year. And then you're not close to that sister. You wonder why. Because you never forgave. Pray that you're humble to be able to ask for forgiveness. Sometimes we don't like to ask for forgiveness. Because we have the pride. Pride, God detests pride. Pray that you grow in humility to be able to serve others. Sometimes we're so concerned about our needs that we forget there's other needs, other people's needs. Pray that you grow in humility to be sacrificial and not to look to your own comfort. You know, if you're always comfortable, if nothing's happening, if there's no sacrifice, are you really trying to be like Jesus? Pray that you grow in humility to be able to believe in others. Believe in people. Don't doubt people. Don't question people. She's lying to me, or you know what I mean? It's this attitude of the heart. Be humble. Trust people. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Even if they're wrong, help them so they could see it right. But don't take it against them. You know, sometimes we take it against people like, oh, well, she lied to me. Oh, she was mean to me. Or she said that to me. I'm not talking to her. You know, it's this attitude, the worldliness. We have to be humble. We have to give people the benefit of the doubt. And even if they're wrong, help them. Be like Jesus. Be vulnerable. Pray that you grow in humility to be able to be vulnerable, open, transparent. Don't hide anything. Because bottom line is, we're all in the same boat. We're all trying to grow to go to heaven together. And if we don't help one another, who's going to help us? You know, people at your job, they're not going to tell you the scripture you need to read. They're just going to tell you, don't talk to her. She's like that. You know, no. You have to fight for your convictions. You have to fight for who you are. You're a daughter of the most amazing being in this world. And you need to represent him right. But without humility, it will never happen. So that's my little study that I did on humility. Thank you. And let me give you an announcement that I wanted to, that Sarah asked me to ask you. She wants you to email her with any needs that you guys need that we have in the congregation for the women so that we can prepare lessons for that. So let's say you think that we're weak in certain points. Email her, sarahalloway@bellsouth.net, and let her know what you think, what class we need to work on for classes here or in retreats, you know, different things like that. So don't forget. She asked me to tell you, to remind you about that. And now I'm going to ask Doris to come and pray for the end of the class, and then we'll be dismissed.
Okay, let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for Marissa Bell's message. I think the thing that touched my heart the most was that we need humility to even see you, God, and to be intimate with you. And that just really struck me the most. I think everything else falls into place when we're intimate with you. We're spending that time with you, God. And, you know, I'm just so grateful that you put it on her heart to share with us. I definitely needed it. It was totally the Holy Spirit. I pray that you'll help us to be humble so that we can grow. Because truly, that's really the only thing that matters. So I pray that we'll work on it if that's something that we really need to work on. I pray that, you know, however it comes about in our life, that we'll truly work on being humble. I pray all this in your son's name. Amen.